Hey, apologize for the delay. It's 10 minutes after 8:00. The House State Affairs Committee will please come to order. Welcome to the folks in the audience, those who are going to testify later. And I'd like to welcome to our committee this morning Representative Wilson, Representative Grunberg, Representative Johnson, myself, Chair Bob Lynn. Representative Gatto has excused absence.
He's in budget closeout.
And we have a couple other people in other committees and so on. And I'd like to welcome Representative Peterson. And so with that, first on our agenda today, hearing about the governor's appointments to the State Commission on Human Rights, the Board of Parole, the Personnel Board, and AIPOC. And also like to welcome Representative Seaton to our meeting this morning.
Morning, Paul.
Morning.
And so I think we have we're playing with almost a full deck here.
That may be a big statement, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure I'd go that far.
Be on record or not. Is Mr. Lunsford available here or online?
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Lunsford?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yeah, good. Could you get closer to the mic? Are folks here turn off the volume or both?
Okay, first I'd like to apologize. I'm out on the street, actually, headed to Anchorage from Whittier. It was pretty clear weather until I got to Anchorage, and it's snowing like crazy down here.
Well, it's raining down here, so I think you should adjourn this hearing to the Cabo San Lucas or something.
I'll second that motion.
Mr. What's that?
I'll second that motion.
You second the motion. We're on the way. Mr. Lunsford, will you please introduce yourself for the record and tell us why you're applying for this position, your qualification, et cetera?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you guys have a lot to do down there in Juneau, and your service is greatly appreciated by the folks out in Whittier. So thank you very much. My name is Lester Lunsford. Spelling of the last name is L-U-N-C-E-F-O-R-D.
Okay.
And currently I'm reappointed by Governor Sean Parnell. This would be my third confirmation hearing. I've been appointed to the Human Rights Commission for the last 7 years. This will be going on to my eighth year. In addition to that, I'm also the mayor for the city of Whittier. I've been mayor for Whittier three terms, 7 years also. And I also work for the Alaska Railroad Corporation as their dock manager, real estate manager for their real estate holdings out in Whittier. I'm very proud and very pleased to sit on the Human Rights Commission for 7 years. I firmly believe in the fight against discrimination in the workplace, and I would like to continue that if the committee would allow it and if the legislature would allow it. I'd be glad to answer any questions that anyone has.
During the period of 7 years that you worked on this commission, in general terms, what's the most typical type of complaint that you get that you have to deal with? What of those who come to see you for some reason? What's the most typical kind of complaint that you get that you have to deal with, and how do you handle that?
Yes, sir. The typical complaint that the commission sees is age discrimination or race discrimination in the workplace. Obviously, the commission of seven is a semi-judicial body that once the commission staff investigates the case, oftentimes it may go to hearing, oftentimes it may be resolved prior to hearing, but we as a commission pretty much serves as an appeal type body, and occasionally we get some of the appeals. Most of them are upheld by the investigation staff with the Human Rights Commission. But oftentimes what happens is when someone files a discrimination complaint with the Alaska Human Rights Commission. The investigators will go out and find that there may or may not be cause. If there is cause, the investigation will continue. Oftentimes, if the complainant is still working in the workplace, there's some additional complaints that may follow, such as retaliation for filing the complaint. These types of complaints are actually on the rise in the workplace. But all in all, the commission or the commissioners that are appointed by the governor and confirmed by the legislature serve mostly as a panel of judges to hear appeals.
Okay, any other questions from the committee? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Lunsford.
Let's put the mic up closer here.
Of the people that are on the commission, are a lot of them new ones? I mean, you're going to be going in for your third appointment, and I'm just wondering, it's good to have people that have some history. And what is the makeup now as far as how new some of the people are?
I believe our newest member, if memory serves me correctly, has been serving a little over a year now. Other than her, most of the members on the commission have between 3 and 7 or 8 years as well, like me.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Do you need to?
I need to.
Representative Walton has a bell up or something over here. Yeah, Representative Grunberg?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have just one line of questioning. Mr. Lunsford, this is Max Grunberg. We've been sent some complaints from folks who have had their allegations pending for years, and they're against discrimination, alleged discrimination by the state in employment. Are you familiar with a number of cases dealing with that subject that have been pending for a long time?
Representative Grunberg, I'm not familiar with how many there are. I am familiar with that there are some complaints out there that have a legitimate cause to complain because of the cases taking so long. A lot of times these cases are for many different reasons. I would like to, all kinds of excuses, but the cold hard truth of it is sometimes it just takes a long time to investigate these cases. Sometimes witnesses come and go. Sometimes investigators come and go. The resources that are available to us and the process that we have to go through to get to a final conclusion of the case goes through so many processes that we recognize, the commission and the commission staff recognizes that we are not happy with the way some of these cases take so long. And we are trying to do everything humanly possible to prevent this in the future. But right now, the way our system is built, it's not uncommon to see a case sometimes go 5 or 6 years before resolution.
Representative Grunberg,
thank you.
5 or 6 years, it was age discrimination, alleged age discrimination, and go 4 or 5 years after that, they're obviously 4 or 5 years older. She.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is of great concern to a number of different legislators, not just myself, both senators and representatives, and we're in the process working together to try to find out what is going on, why it's taking so long, because it appears from what you're saying that this is just a really long time, and I just happen to be talking to you because you're here, And as I sometimes say, you're a target of opportunity. It's nothing personal. I certainly have nothing but good things to say about you, hear about you. But please, if the commissioner, if you could convey to the rest of the commission and the staff that myself and several other people are very concerned about this, and we'd like to talk to somebody, see what we can do to help you get these backlog taken care of.
Any other questions?
Could I get a response on that?
What's that?
Could I get a response?
Yes, I'm sorry. He had an 8:30 appointment at the dentist, which you'll probably be glad to go to after testifying here. Can you answer quickly?
Yeah, could you help me, sir?
Yes, sir, I can. Through the chair, please. I really do appreciate all the legislators' concerns about this time issue with the Human Rights Commission. And I will tell you that there is an ongoing review that's being taking place right now as we speak to see through the governor's office to see how we can be more efficient, how both the hopefully both the governor's office as well as the legislature might be able to help with this. With this issue of time, the number or the amount of time that it takes sometimes to file these, or not file, but to come to a resolution on these cases. And we welcome this review, and we hope that it will answer most of your questions, and hopefully we can go from there. And I'm very optimistic that the commission is more than willing to do everything in their power to expedite these cases as quickly as possible.
May I ask who the chair is of the commission? I don't know.
That would be me, sir.
You are. Okay. Could you maybe contact us on the phone or something later? I'd like to follow this up a little bit. This is probably not the venue to do it, but I'd like to get more detailed answers on this and see if we should have an oversight or something.
Absolutely, sir, and I'll be happy to give you my phone number right now if you like.
Not on the
I'd
it's
rather
on the resume.
I'd rather you didn't do that. Is it on here?
Yeah.
We already have your number, sir.
Okay. Please feel free to give me a call, sir, anytime you'd like.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Chair, thank you for saying that. I really appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I guess going to the dentist will be a relief.
This is fine, sir. Thank you very much for your time. And again, your service is greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, before the Board of Parole, we have Richard Larson. You said you'll be calling in from somewhere back east. Are you online?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. I saw on the computer this morning that they supposed to be having 13 inches of snow in New York City.
Well, I'm not back east. Actually, I'm in San Francisco, and the weather is just wonderful here.
I move to disapprove.
Yeah.
That's east of here, I guess.
So. Okay. Mr. Larson, will you please introduce yourself, give your background, and tell us why we should consider you for the Board of Parole?
Well, I go by Ole Larson. Richard's my first name. And
How do you spell it? O-L-I-E?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just O-L-E.
Okay, O-L-E. Go ahead, sir.
I'm a 29-year career correctional professional in the state of Alaska. I started with corrections in the 70s with juvenile delinquents at McLaughlin Youth Center, and then went into adult corrections and in the early 80s, went from correctional officer to a sergeant to assistant superintendent to superintendent, retired out as a superintendent at Mat-Su pretrial after 29 years. I've been out and retired for 5 years, and I'm down in San Francisco at a reading symposium. I'm on the board of directors for Mat-Su School District, so I'm a school board member, and I've continued my public service since I've been retired, and I have long-term experience in corrections, of course, and while in corrections, I took as much training as possible to keep up on the latest of correctional theory and implement a lot of that into my work.
No.
Okay. Excuse me, any questions? Do you have any questions?
No.
Okay, sir, I thank you for your testimony and enjoy the sundown in San Francisco, and I know there's some good Chinese restaurants there. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for thank you very much, and thank you for your services down in Juneau, and I'm glad I can enjoy the weather here.
Okay. Ed, Dr. Hamilton called in yet. My notes say he's going to be calling in later. So let's go to our candidates for APOC. Who wants to go first? Elizabeth Hickerson, please.
Good morning.
Good morning. Please introduce yourself and give us your background and why you'd like to continue working or begin working with APOC, as the case may be.
I'm Elizabeth Hickerson. I'm presently the chair.
Put the microphone a little closer, please.
Okay. How's that? I'm Elizabeth Hickerson, and I'm presently the chair of the Alaska Public Offices Commission. I was appointed to serve out a term. I think that the previous commissioner was in that position for about 6 months, and so as I recall, it was like 2005. And I would like to take the opportunity. We have a lot of our other commissioners here to introduce them to you all.
Would you please do that?
I will. This is Commissioner Ballinger from Kodiak, Commissioner Dean from Juneau, Commissioner King from Anchorage. You'll hear from her later. And then we have our Executive Director, Holly Hill, Assistant Director, Jerry Anderson, and Patty Ware, who you all may know, who heads up the Juneau office. Top-notch staff. We have really been able to turn the agency around in the last several years.
You've got top-notch legislator here.
Okay. All right.
I just want to put that on the record for APOC.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We don't have any backlog cases. We are processing.
That's because the legislature is so good, right?
That's right. And we want you to continue to be good to us. And you will be hearing about some of our needs. You've already heard some of our needs. We're trying to upgrade our electronic filing. It hasn't been as easy as we thought it would be. But nonetheless, I believe that we are serving the public better than ever. We have tremendous training going on for lobbyists, for people who are running for office. The phones are ringing off the wall all the time, and the staff is overworked and stressed out at many times during election cycles, but I believe that they're doing an excellent job. It's been my privilege to serve. This is pretty much, voluntary position. I've been an attorney in the state of Alaska since 1981. And in fact, for years I worked for the Senate here, but with the Attorney General's office. And I've been around a lot of agencies, and I'm very proud of the APOC right now.
I would imagine your service working on the Senate side has to be valuable to give you some insight about how things really work down here, rather than just, a textbook idea of how it works.
Yes, sir.
Okay. what was your, is or was your specialty in law, if any? Was it general practice or?
I worked for the Attorney General's, I worked for the Senate, and in that capacity, I was working on all kinds of legislation. I was the primary staff person involved in the procurement code, and which came out of the impeachment proceedings that you all may have recalled, I don't think any of you were here, Representative Gruenberg, I believe, might have been here. And then I went on to work for the Attorney General's office, primarily doing civil administrative legal work. I represented the Public Utilities Commission. I represented the International Airports, the Division of Agriculture, Division of Insurance. Did a lot of work on regulations. Went back and represented the RCA after it got rearranged. And now I retired a number of years ago, and I have a pajama practice, I call it, out of my home. I do limited contract work.
Thank you. I guess you get most of the questions because you're the one who's going first here. On the complaints, I suppose you had to work on in April, what's the most general type of complaint or case that you have to work on? What area do those fall in, generally speaking?
Well, basic allegations of violations of the statutes, failure to report inappropriate contributions. We've got some major cases going on right now about whether or not certain contributions were made in violation of the statute. Sometimes there'll be complaints, and complaints can be filed by individuals. The commission can institute its own proceeding if we find that something needs to be addressed. But I think the most serious ones are basically when people think that the public's been misled, either by failure to disclose properly who's paying for an ad, or if a contribution is made and isn't properly identified or is in violation of the statute.
Thank you very much. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering if you think the most recent Supreme Court decision regarding corporate publicity, we'll call it, during elections, is that going to complicate the rulings by the APOC Commission, or do you think the legislature here in Juneau needs to address that issue before we adjourn? General,
Definitely, the Supreme Court made it clear that corporations and labor unions can make independent expenditures on behalf of the candidate. We don't have any statute or regulation that addresses what type of disclosure requirements have to be made. The Supreme Court said that even though they could make these contributions, they had to report. The legislature needs to do something this session. Otherwise, there will be no rules. And we don't have, according to the Department of Law, sufficient legal authority to draft regulations. And regulations, as you probably know, take, even if they're emergency, take some time. Meanwhile, you all have the ability right now to enact legislation and give it an effective date. April Fool's Day, if you want, to address the need so that we know what the rules are at a minimum. Yeah.
I'm happy to tell you that Representative Seaton and I have a personal bill, but it's also a committee bill that we received yesterday. I expect it to be read across the floor tomorrow that addresses all, I hope, or at least most of the issues. And you or anybody else from APOC who's down here, welcome to look at the draft that we have and offer suggestions if you like. We hope we can get that right across the floor tomorrow so we can go. The committee bill will probably be the vehicle for the legislation. Mm-hmm. And basically, Representative Seaton and I, we put in the bill, it became a placeholder until we could get the committee bill going. And we hope this at least addresses the problem this year, and then we need to tweak it some, when you find out what happened. But everybody and their uncle is running for election, somewhere for something, and we need to get some guidelines up for us and for those corporate people who may choose to get involved in the election process, you know, they're basically good people, but they need to have some guidelines, like everybody else has guidelines on this stuff. And so, and I'm also working with Senator French on the other side. So we're trying to have a coordinated effort here. And I would invite you or anybody else who would care to talk with us on it. My staffer, Mike Sika, is doing a superlative job of getting this stuff together. And I would invite you to at least drop in and see where we're going so we don't make any big mistakes, you know, right off the bat. But we've got, you know, as you know, we've got to get the thing right across before we can do anything seriously on it. And I can assure you, as chair of the State Affairs Committee, where I'm sure that'll be assigned, that'll go to the head of our parade of issues that we're going to address here and try to move it out as fast as possible.
If I might,
yes, please.
The commission has decided not to take a position on what type of disclosure requirements. That's something that the legislature needs to do, and I would assume that they would be similar to the other existing disclosure requirements for individuals. But the Ms. Hill and her staff are certainly interested and will be providing any fiscal impact information that any legislation would provide.
Yeah, I'm just saying it'd be nice if we could have whatever we come up with in legislation, good, bad, or in between, you are the folks who are going to have to basically enforce that.
Right.
And so it'd be nice if we're not on the same page, at least in the same ballpark.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions? Yes, Representative Seaton, Vice Chair Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just wanted to, I think, make a correction that corporations and unions making expenditures, independent expenditures on behalf of a candidate, that would indicate coordination, which would be a campaign contribution.
Right.
I don't think that that's what you meant.
No, it's independent expenditures for addressing a candidate, not coordinated. That would be a contribution. You're exactly right.
Okay.
So,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to clarify that in case somebody in the public misinterpreted what I thought you were saying, as you've stated now. The other thing that I would like to do is invite the commission to talk with us, not necessarily on the policy, but on the implementation. I know that we will probably be looking at some electronic reporting and some time periods, and we really need to know what the commission's ability is with your electronic reporting and electronic disclosures, and what kind of forms and time frames those can be. So not on the policy, but on,
right,
you know, whether what we are trying to go forward with is workable. And so we would appreciate your input on that. And thank you for your service.
Thank you very much.
The staff is available anytime. Well, not anytime, but they'll do what they can to help you.
Okay. Thank you so much for
visiting.
Mr. Chairman, I have just one.
He has a question.
And it's not a question,
Mr. Chairman. Johnson.
I noticed that we have two members up, one's from Oklahoma and one from Texas. And I'm wondering if in November, if you have meetings, are you able to speak to each other when the two football teams are playing each other, or if that rivalry is put aside?
I'm from Texas. I went to Oklahoma.
Oh,
I have an internal problem with that.
Are there any complaints to each other inside?
Let me tell you something. I am just so pleased to work with the other commissioners. We have one commissioner that's not here, Kathy Frederick. She is out preparing to run the Iditarod. And
to participate.
Oh yeah, she's mushing. If she can make it to the start line, she's had some hard times. But it is a wonderful, smart, intelligent group of commissioners, and we don't look at each other as, you know, we got two Republicans and two Democrats and an independent. We don't look at things that way. We put that all aside, and we try to do the right thing.
Well, apparently one of your commissioners is going to the dogs.
She is.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I want to point out that Oklahoma and Texas football transcends politics. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do we have Ms. King, Kathleen King? Who does? Paul, will you check and take this right now?
Sure. Good morning, Ms. King.
Good morning.
This is a busy time in our schedule as well, so forgive the members that have had to go to other meetings. Would you go ahead and introduce yourself and let us know why you enjoy serving on APOC?
My name is Kathleen King. I am a Alaskan born and raised. I've served on the commission now. I was appointed a year ago, so I'm still fairly wet behind the ears. I have spent 19 years as a state employee, working primarily for the Attorney General's office and the court system. I'm currently working as a technical writer for the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, and so I have a varied background, but I suppose what ties this all together is my research and writing abilities, and I think that is something that I have been able to contribute to the commission so far, is an ability to put on paper what we agree to orally. What I enjoy most about participating on this commission is what Elizabeth said earlier, and that is that we come together as individuals with our different ideas of how things should run, but we put our interests aside to do what's best for the public. And my greatest concern and the reason why I wanted to serve on this commission is to provide for the public's ability to be able to decipher what's going on behind the scenes, and as much as they can, insofar as their right to know information that should be disclosed.
Thank you. Do we have questions? I had one. What is an institution review board certification?
When you're doing research in social sciences, before you can do a survey or perform any experiments on humans, you have to be certified, and that certification is basically just a training in what you can say to people, what kind of disclosures you have to make. It's just a ethical review too. It's just basically how to treat people when you want to get information out of them.
Good. And I guess I have just a question from your perspective of serving on the board as far as the electronic reporting and electronic disclosures. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the commission is up and running yet on those facilities or the mechanisms, or are we still in need of improvement?
Oh, we're still in need of improvement. We're getting there, but it takes a while. We have certain aspects of it that are still in development, and it's difficult at times to be able to figure out where to place your priorities as far as developing the system, but it's coming together and they're making great strides, but it's not perfect yet.
And I know that that's really more of a question probably for the staff. Mm-hmm. and when we have a bill before us, we'll be asking them to come in and appraise us of that, but they're on notice now that that's a big key issue that we're wanting to talk about. I think Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And maybe this is an unfair question for maybe the newest member of the commission, but there's some cases in front of you now that are quite troubling to me, and in terms of disclosures and the things that were spoken about previously. Do you think the commission has at its disposal the tools it needs to deal with those issues
not necessarily with a new Supreme Court ruling, and I'm trying to be very careful not to deal specifically with anything that's up, but do you think you have the tools you need? Have you found yourself, as you work through this muddle of hidden, I don't want to say hidden, that I don't want to imply that there's anything wrong in here. I want to be very careful. But maybe you know what I'm getting at, maybe you don't. But do you have the tools you need to find out, to get to the realities of what happens, not necessarily with elected officials, but groups and these other entities that may play into the future legislation? Do you have the tools in place now to do your job when it comes to those kinds of disclosures?
Well,
or is this a better question left till after tomorrow? I mean, you know, I have to be very careful here, and I don't want anything, but I want to make sure that you guys have the tools you need to do the job. So,
well, just generally, I think we could use stronger language in the statutes. I think we could use our regulations need to be overhauled to match existing statutory authority. That's all I can say at this point.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson.
And I would encourage that, you know, we have an opportunity, we have a shot here. I don't want to go back and try to fix the past. But if we could, if in light of what has come up with the Supreme Court ruling, if we could look at some of those issues that may have come up and some of the difficulties I know that the commission has faced in looking at some of the existing cases, if we could address some of that at the same time, I would really like your input on taking care of some of those issues. And I know we had to be very careful about talking mm-hmm. about specifics on the record, but I do on the record want to state that I think you've got a very receptive committee here and a very receptive legislator into fixing those problems, and I think you've probably run across some difficulties that you didn't even know you had. And if we can fix those with this go-round, I think we need to take a bite at that apple at the same time that we're looking at the bigger picture of what the Supreme Court did. So just encourage you to communicate quickly, and maybe after tomorrow you'll know better mm-hmm. what you have and don't have, so and we can be more able to talk about it.
Okay. Well, in fact, we have at 5 o'clock tonight. We have an appointment with the chair to talk to him. So that'll be
okay. Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. And I do want to also reiterate what I think Representative Johnson is saying, is that we have some fixes that we are proposing. My legislation has already been read across. That's in the public, but there's some fixes to that. But if there are other things that need to be laid out in more detail in statute on the existing sections of reporting and disclosure, we need to know about that from the commission. You know, the staff is generally there to implement something, so they're not telling us it's not their job to come forward and tell us how to write statutes. But if we have problems for APOC in your determinations in following the statutes, then we need to make sure that we clear them up. We've got this bill going through. Yesterday, the House and Senate had a meeting with the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, a public meeting. That was right here, and we were talking about legislative intent and how we make things clear. And so we do know that it's a clear reading of the words, and then you go to legislative intent. We would rather not be back in looking at committee notes. Mm-hmm. We would rather have clear language in the statute. So if, as you are having to deal with cases that come before you, we don't need to know what those cases are, but we need to know where something in your interpretation or when you're trying to deal with it is not clear, so that we can clear that up at the same time. So this is an invitation to APOC to bring forward to us clarifications in the statutes, because we'll be looking at the section of disclosures and disclaimers, and those things are all going to be on the table as far as independent expenditures. And okay. So if there are other sections that we need to deal with at the same time, the whole committee would really encourage you to let us know, because we just don't know when those things you know, we're not dealing with the aftermath, we're dealing with the upfront, but so.
The pre-math.
And we have the chairman back and.
Just continue.
Okay. And so that was it. I was just encouraging Ms. King that we have before us and the rest of the commissioners to share with us information on problems that they have or our current statutes that aren't clear enough for them to enforce so that we can make the changes at the same time that the committee legislation is going forward. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I didn't see any other questions for Ms. King, so thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I apologize for having leave the some of this is a result of the 90-day session.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much for your service.
No, he hasn't.
He not called in?
So you can just move. It's okay. You can still move. Yeah.
Okay. Can I get a motion from somebody in the committee to...
Can I use
it? Yeah. And this does not affect how we may or may not vote when it goes to the floor.
I had one question. For somebody on the APOC, Gretchen, would you get somebody on the APOC up here, please?
Somebody,
I'm sorry, I had to go. Maybe Elizabeth?
Max, you should have been here.
I'm sorry, I had to go to a committee.
I
had one question for you, Ms. Hickerson, and it was something that you said through the chair. It was something that you said, and I started to look it up, and then I had to go to a closeout. Did you say that the APOC does not have regulatory authority, or did I mishear you on that?
No, we have regulatory authority that the legislature has given us, and I'm not sure what
you're. That's all I needed to know. It was a very specific thing,
right,
that you didn't.
Oh yeah, regulatory authority for APOC matters.
Right, exactly. Yeah. What we don't have is we have no disclosure requirements for corporations making independent expenditures. There's nothing in the statute because it was totally prohibited.
You see, because they made regulations on a statute that doesn't exist.
Right.
Okay.
It was totally prohibited until the U.S. Supreme Court came out. Now, it's open, but we don't have any requirements to make them file reports, to disclose who's making the independent expenditures, and you can make it very narrow, you can make it very broad, just you need to do something, because right now we've got municipal elections coming up in April, and we have no rules.
Thank you.
That's
appreciate
it.
And again, if you could get all or somebody make contact with Mike Seeker, and he's my lead on this.
Okay, we certainly will, and we appreciate the invitation from this committee to assist and to point out needed changes. And I guess I'm focusing on this immediate kind of emergency for us.
Because this, you know, all of us kind of selfishly think about how this affects us as community, but really what we're talking about, how does this affect the people of the state of Alaska?
Oh,
that's really it. What it's all about. So that the elections are conducted fairly, you know, we try to do it with legislators, et cetera, but we need to do it with corporations also. People need to have these disclosures, and it affects citizens of Alaska far more than it does any of us at this table.
Absolutely. The public has a right to know, and right now there are no requirements, period.
Okay.
And so I appreciate
thank you.
Mr. Chairman and other representatives, appreciate your service, and we're off to some other meetings.
Thank you. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would move that the House State Affairs Committee has heard the and has reviewed the qualifications of Lester C. Lunsford, State Commissioner, for a position of the State Commission for Human Rights, Richard Ole Larson for the Parole Board or Board of Parole, Elizabeth Johnson Hickerson for the Alaska Public Offices Commission, and Kathleen J. King for the Alaska Public Offices Commission, and that we move those names forward to joint session for consideration.
Okay. Any objection? If not, those names will be forwarded.
No, I didn't. Him. Didn't him.
Oh.
Did we get?
Did we have him?
No, but he.
No.
He wasn't online. He was had a.
But I.
He had a speech. So are you just not going to forward
him? Yeah, he'll come later.
What's that?
When we review it. Mr. Chairman, there was one member.
Well, we did not talk to.
That we didn't review, so I did not put him on the list, and I figured that we would hear from him at a further meeting.
Yeah.
Or later in this meeting.
Well, yeah. Now, could you tell us if he gets back, if he gets online, will you tell us and we'll try to break in on whatever else we're doing? Thank you. With that.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
What is happening with the general?
That's going to be a different day.
He's
not available today.
Okay.
I think it's Tuesday.
Yep.
I think it's Tuesday. At ease while we fill out the paperwork here. The next bill we're going to consider, we've heard it previously, is CS for House Bill number 289. The sponsors, our friend Representative Grunberg. And so will you bring us up to date?
Yes.
Representative Grunberg, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There were three conceptual discussions. There were discussions of three possible amendments when we last met on this. The first I'm going to call the Andrew Jackson Amendment, which dealt with whether this was going to cover non-spouses in a situation where there was maybe a widower or a widow or something like that.
And if you explain, I know what this is.
For the record, yeah.
Andrew Jackson, I wasn't there, but I heard about it. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the travel expenses, there may be a circumstance where there is no first spouse. And the question was, should we expand the provisions concerning executive travel? And these are found on page 3 of the bill, section 3, to include non-spouses. And my staff, Gretchen, staff who's here in the audience, spoke with, Judy Bachman, the Attorney General who's working on this, and with Dan Wayne, our alleged legal counsel. And it would have been very difficult to craft that because there's so many combinations and permutations. So we did not draft an amendment to do that. If the committee wishes to pursue that, I'll do whatever you want. I would hope we don't hold the bill up for that, but I recommend against that. And then we took the other two amendments, which really were brought up by Representative Seaton. And these are now labeled C1 and C2. And when it comes to the discussion of C2, I will offer an amendment to the amendment and explain it at that time, but I'll leave these.
Well, let's work then with C1.
Representative Seaton, do you want to offer these, or do you want me to? What do you?
I'll offer.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. I'd like to offer amendment number 1. That is to page 3, line 16, and it is deleting the word official and inserting officially designated.
Good. Any objection to that? If not, Amendment 1 is hereby adopted.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. I'd like to offer Amendment number 2, which is to page 3, line 14, and it's deleting the word is and inserting has been. And on page 3, line 15, following customary, inserting at similar events, and on page 3, line 19, deleting are customary and inserting have been customary at similar events.
I will object for the purpose of a potential amendment
noted.
To the amendment.
Please speak to it.
Yes. Gretchen, was this Dan Wayne's suggestion?
No. Let's go through the chair.
Okay. Through the chair.
You know that.
Yes, of course. Mr. Chair, staff, do we have Judy Bachman on the line? Yes.
Yes, she's on
I would ask Ms. Bachman.
The chairman knows that. You've got it right here.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't. Sorry.
That's why I get these lists here.
I would ask that we ask Ms. Bachman to answer the question. May I inquire of Ms. Bachman, please?
Ms. Bachman, are you online?
Yes.
Yeah. Reverend Grunberg had a question for you.
Ms. Bachman, we're on Amendment C2.
Yes, I've been listening.
Okay. Line 10. I will offer an amendment to the amendment to change the word at to the word for, F-O-R, and I would ask somebody to object so Ms. Bachman can explain why.
First of all, I'd like to have Ms. Bachman identify herself for the record.
Yes, Chairlin. I'm Assistant Attorney General Judy Bachman from the Department of Law.
Thank you.
I'll object to the...
Okay. Objection from Representative Seaton for purposes of discussion.
Ms. Bachman, could you explain why we should change the word at to the word for, please? Through the chair.
Yes, we're referring to page 3, line 19. And when I went back and reread the entire capital D in the bill, I realized that the phrasing that is we talked about amending on Tuesday really reads, the invitation and the person's attendance are customary. And it seemed to me that simply for context, use of the word for rather than at was a better choice when the phrase starts with the invitation and the person's attendance.
I see. Okay. Representative Seaton?
And Mr. Chairman, that's it seems to me stylistic, and I'll remove my objection.
Okay. Objection removed. Representative Grunberg?
That completes my questioning, and I have no objection to the amendment.
Okay, the objection has been removed. Any other objections? If not, that is Amendment 2 has been adopted. Is anybody...
Mr. Chairman, we have...
Yes.
That removal was for the Amendment 2, Amendment 2, yes?
Yes.
And then...
Representative Seaton.
Mr. Chairman, I remove my objection to the amendment to the amendment, and then...
No, we have to go to the amendment itself.
Had I objected to the amendment?
Yes.
I would remove my objection to the amendment as amended.
Okay. That's a little early in the morning to keep track of all this. Okay. Is anybody else online who wishes to speak to this bill, HB 289? Mm-hmm. Anybody else in the audience who wishes to speak to HB 289? If not, public testimony is closed. Any discussion among the committee on this bill as amended? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunberg.
I move that we pass out the C version for HB 289 as a committee substitute with amendments 1 and 2 and attached fiscal note.
And?
With individual recommendations.
Individual recommendations.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any objection? If not, HB 289 has passed the committee for travel to the next committee. Okay. Do we have anything else on the agenda here?
No, that's for next Tuesday.
Okay.
And here's yours. Here's yours.
Okay. Our next we will not be meeting Saturday. I expect as we get closer to the end of the session that we probably will have to have some Saturday meetings as these various bills start stacking up on things.
You might need to add him.
Yes, I will. And we're going to try to have Dr. Keith Hamilton for the APOC board. Hopefully he can visit with us on Tuesday when we have the next meeting. And then on Tuesday we're going to listen to Commissioner-designee General Thomas Katkus for his son. He could not do that today. And then for the committee's information on the matter on United decision. We have a committee bill which hopefully will be right across the floor tomorrow, and hopefully and most likely we assign it to our committee, and we're going to be hearing that bill and try to get some action on this as soon as we can for the reasons that were explained here. And do the other members of the committee have a copy of the committee bill that's going to be filed? We'll try to get that to you. Okay, and I will be working also with Representative Kawasaki and some others who have interest in the same thing for the same reasons. Representative Gernberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I mentioned on the floor yesterday, I've asked Gretchen to monitor any cases that cite Citizens United during the rest of the session so that we can report to the chair and the members of the committee. We had the one case that I cited on the floor yesterday. It turned out not to be an issue, but because this is so fast moving, we may have other cases from federal and state jurisdictions, and I'll try to keep everybody informed because this has so many permutations and fallouts in various laws that we have.
Right.
I'll keep everybody informed.
And, you know, not all the states. Some of the states already have this type of reporting required, but we need to keep track of any pending state legislation, you know, somewhere on this general subject.
Mr. Chair?
Any other business to come before the committee?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Gernberg.
There are also other issues that they may be cited. The question is on taxing and tax deductibility and stuff like that, which is just one thing that comes to mind. But I'll try to let everybody know anything here.
Yeah, and we'll try to get the committee.
Mr. Chairman, are we having a discussion on a bill that hasn't been read across or
on
the record?
Yeah, we are giving notice of a bill that's coming up, and I'm just telling the committee not about the bill, saying I'm going to try to get you a copy. You make a valid point. We're not discussing the content of the bill. I hope not.
I just reminded we are on the record.
Yeah.
So we are discussing the bill that hasn't been noticed.
Okay.
Or read across.
Okay. Well, for the record, there's no intent to do that. The intent was merely to inform my fellow committee members that we are going to be hearing this bill on Tuesday, and that we're going to extend the courtesy of giving you a copy of what would be the draft bill at this point, so you can be ready for it. Is that satisfactory? I hope. Anyway, we did it. Well, APAC already left the room, so.
Mr. Peterson.
Yes. Representative Peterson.
I was just thinking that I've heard that some members of our body might be going to an energy conference next week, and I myself am not going. But I just wanted to make sure that we knew we were going to have a quorum on Tuesday.
Well, we don't leave for they don't leave the energy conference, I think, until Wednesday.
Okay.
And so this bill coming up and this confirmation should be Tuesday, so we should have everybody here and should be a quorum for it.
Okay.
So
I'll be here.
Okay. Okay, we are adjourned at 10 minutes after 9.
Locked into being gone next week.